Speaking on this program is Mark Lance.
We think back to the week that Jesus was crucified and think of all the duress that he would have been in, and actually the apostles as well, when he came to fulfill the mission that God gave him to fulfill in order that man might be saved. He had taught the apostles for 3.5 years and prepared them and was going to send the Holy Spirit, the Holy Ghost, to comfort them, to guide them into all truth. But you go through that week and you see, as he is taken before a kangaroo court, the witnesses are not honest. They lie about him. And we see that even the Son of God, Jesus Christ himself, is spit upon. He's beaten. Why did he suffer all these things? Because of his great love for you and for me, that he would die and take our place. It should be us that died on the cross, but so that we wouldn't have to, he made the way of salvation possible. And you see, the crown of thorns. Jesus is King of Kings. He is Lord of Lords. He does reign on his throne now. But they gave him a crown of thorns, not one befitting of a true king, and certainly the King of Kings. And you think of all the duress that the apostles would have been under. Even though he had prepared them as best as they could be prepared, it's still nothing like actually experiencing it. And you can go back and think of the scene in the Garden of Gethsemane when he is praying, "If there be any other way, let this cup pass from me." But he ends by saying to the Father, "Thy will be done." And that should be our same thoughts today. The will of God shall be done. And that's what matters more than anything else, is that we submit to him and his will, but also that we teach it to others. Jesus was resurrected after his crucifixion on the first day of the week, as we are gathered here on this first day of the week, and we are here to worship him because he did rise from the grave. Even with all those terrible events that took place the week of the crucifixion, Satan could not keep him in the grave. He could not defeat him. He may have fought for a moment that he had defeated the Son of God, but not so. He died and actually gained a great victory for all of us, for all the world. And after his resurrection, he had appeared to two of his followers, and at first they didn't even recognize him. But we see in Luke 24, verses 31 and 32, just a little bit later, it says, "Their eyes were opened. Now they recognize. It was Jesus. It was the Christ that they had seen, and they knew him, and he vanished out of their sight. And they said one to another, 'Did not our heart burn within us while he talked with us by the way, and while he opened to us the Scriptures?'" He opened up to them what the Word of God says. That is what he came to do, fulfill the will of God. That should be our purpose in life, is to fulfill what God wants us to do. And sometimes we tend to lose sight of that. We lose sight of what's important. Jesus never did. He came for a certain reason. Left the glories of heaven, came to this world, and he fulfilled the work that God gave him to do. Brethren, we need to stop and think, are we fulfilling the work that God has for us? But now, later on, he again appears to these two and also to the apostles. But now these two men they appeared to, they had gone back into the city. They're telling people about the Christ. We've seen him. Brethren, we should have that same excitement today. We should be telling the world about the Christ, the one that came to save the world. He did die on the cross. He was buried. He also has been resurrected. And now we have the opportunity, the privilege for salvation. We should have that great excitement within us. It should be like the days of Jeremiah when he said the Word of God was like a fire in his bones and he could not contain. He wanted to tell others what the will of God is. While we don't live under the same dispensation, we do have the Word of God. And brethren, we have the complete revelation of God. And we must take this message to all the world. That is what we're commanded to do. And we read the scripture that Trey read for us. Luke chapter 24, verses 46 through 48. "And he said unto them," Jesus, "thus it is written, and thus it behooved Christ to suffer and to rise from the dead the third day, and that repentance and remission of sins should be preached in His name among all nations, beginning at Jerusalem, and ye are witnesses of these things. The apostles had seen Him. These other people had seen Him. He gave the evidence. Now He says it should start in the city of Jerusalem. Guess where the gospel was first proclaimed? In the city of Jerusalem. Just like He said, just like Isaiah had said, these things would take place in the other Old Testament prophets. We see that the Scripture tells us the truth, and it is in perfect harmony with itself. It does not contradict itself, as some would falsely claim. But remember this, just because somebody makes a claim does not make it true. They accuse the Son of God of being a liar. He's not the one that is going to save the world. They were looking for another. But He was and is the Savior of the world. In fact, He's the only way that anybody can be saved. It is by and through Jesus Christ. You can't go to the Father unless you go by Jesus Christ. But now let's notice the authority that Jesus has. And brethren, there's a lack of respect for the authority of Jesus in the religious world in general, and sometimes even within the body of Christ. There's a lack of respect for the authority. How much authority does our Lord have? We need to notice what the Scripture says about this. Notice in Matthew 28, verses 18 through 20, what we call the Great Commission, one instance of it. And Jesus came and spake unto them, saying, all power is given unto me in heaven and in earth. Now, if He has all power, you want that left to somebody else? Absolutely zero. No man, no group of men, no angel has any authority, has no power. The Son of God has all authority. All power has been given unto Him. And brethren, we need to respect it. The reason we have the religious division that we see today is because men do not respect the authority of Jesus Christ. If we all read the same thing and all followed the same thing, it would make us the same thing. Christians and Christians only. The Bible makes only Christians. It doesn't make anything else. Not if you follow the Word of God. Now, if you take a little bit of this and some of what some man said and some of what some other man said, you're going to have something other than Christians. You might have some things that are similar, but you're also going to have some things that are different. But it goes on to say, go ye therefore, because Jesus has the authority, and He says to go. But brethren, it still applies to us as it did to them. Go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and the Holy Ghost. That's what we do today. Teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you. Not what somebody else said. Not what people think and how it's changed to fit our modern society. No, we go and teach what Jesus Christ commanded. And lo, I am with you always, even unto the end of the world. Amen. Now, He said, go. Now, we don't read what the apostle said, but we can't. We're not able. We don't have the ability. But here's the reason I can't. Here's the reason I won't. No, they were willing to do what God said. Yes, it cost them. They had to suffer because they followed Christ. Yea, all that live godly in Christ Jesus shall suffer persecution. If you serve God, as you should, the Bible tells us we're going to be persecuted because of it. We don't count that as a light thing. We're glad that we can suffer for the cause of Christ. There's going to be suffering in this world. Wouldn't it be the best to suffer for the right cause? Because it has rewards with it, eternal rewards. Jesus said, I will never leave thee, I will never forsake thee. The things that we have need of in life, God will provide to His children. The things that we need after this life, He will provide them to His, to God will provide them to His children that serve Him faithfully. But He says, go. Not sit and wait, not watch, and not wonder what happened. He says, go. Our neighbors, our co-workers, our family need the gospel because it is the only thing that will save their soul. Nothing else will do it. Nothing else will suffice. Only the will of God, because He has all authority. So when some man comes through and says, we decided and we've done this, he doesn't have the authority. That's the reason we always ask the question when somebody is trying to make an addition to the Word of God, trying to make a subtraction from the Word of God, by what authority do you do this? It must come from the will of God, if we're going to have the authority from God, how do we know what God wants us to do? We read the will of God. It tells us what we must do, but rather we must go. We must recognize the authority of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ because He has all of it. We read in Ephesians 1, verses 20 through 22, which He wrought in Christ when He raised Him from the dead and set Him at His own right hand in the heavenly places, far above all principality and power and might and dominion and every name that is named, not only in this world but also in that which is to come, and have put all things under His feet and gave Him to be head over all things to the church. Jesus is the head. Yes, where the orders come from, the head, not from the body. The brain, the head, gives orders to the rest of the body. The head of the church, Jesus Christ, gives the orders. We must worship in accordance with His will, because in Matthew 15, verse 9, we see there is such a thing called vain worship. That means people are religious, and they even go as far as to worship, but it's not according to what God has authorized through His Son, through the Scriptures. We also read this in Matthew 17, verse 5, and while He yet spake, behold, a bright cloud overshadowed them, and behold, a voice out of the cloud which said, This is My beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased. Hear ye Him. Not any other man. If an angel comes and preaches any other gospel, Paul said, Galatians chapter 1, verses 6 through 9, let him, even an angel, be accursed. Well, I don't think it matters what you believe. You go to heaven your way and I'll go mine. Without Bible authority, you don't have the authority to make that statement. That comes from man. Man is not the authority. Therefore, man can't say, you can go to heaven your way, and you go your way, and I'll go mine, because there is only one source of authority, and that is our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, and the Scriptures, which He has given us. And He left and sent the Comforter to come to the apostles to guide them into all truth. Now, question, if they have all truth, how much is left? Zero. It's all been given to us. Therefore, when somebody comes through and says, I have another testament of Jesus Christ. No, you don't. How do I know that? Because He has already given us all things that pertain unto life and godliness. Therefore, there's not another testament. There's not another will. There's not God spoke to me and said, because He has already given us all things that we need. We have every bit of it, and it's revealed to us. Brethren, we need to respect the authority of our Lord. We need to respect the authority of the Scriptures. Respect the authority that God has given to man, because the gospel is the only thing that will save man's soul. Nothing else will do it. But now, let's notice the commission given to the apostles. Notice again in Luke 26. This time we're going to go through 46 through 49. We're going to go a verse further. And He said unto them, Thus it is written, and thus it behooved Christ to suffer, and to rise from the dead the third day, and that repentance and remission of sins should be preached in His name among all nations, beginning at Jerusalem, and ye are witnesses of these things. And behold, I send the promise of My Father upon you, but tarry ye in the city of Jerusalem until ye be endued with power from on high. Now, guess what they did? They went to the city of Jerusalem and waited, like they were told. Also, something you don't read here. Well, what difference does it make if it's Jerusalem or Bethlehem or this city or that city? No, they were told specifically which city to go to. That's the one they went to. Why? Because the one with all authority had told them, had directed them to go there. And so that's the only thing they could do if they're going to be pleasing to the Lord. Yes, it was narrow. He said one city. There's not another choice. He didn't split them up. He didn't say, make your own choices. No, you go into the city of Jerusalem. Then we also read further in John 14:26, But the Comforter, which is the Holy Ghost, whom the Father will send in My name, He shall teach you all things and bring all things to your remembrance. Notice this, whatsoever I have said unto you. Not what they thought themselves. They didn't put notes together and compare them. He sent the Holy Spirit, and it instructed them as to what they were to speak. It instructed the writers of the New Testament as to what they were to write. Brethren, they were commissioned by God through the Holy Spirit, and Jesus told them that's what would happen. You see in Acts chapter 2, the day of Pentecost, they had come to the city of Jerusalem to worship. The Holy Ghost is poured out upon the apostles. Now they speak in tongues, languages. Every man heard in his own tongue. They understood. Because they asked questions, men and brethren, what shall we do? If you didn't understand anything, you couldn't ask that question. But they understood because tongues that were mentioned there are languages that men can comprehend. Not some kind of gibberish that nobody knows what it is, they can't understand it. And we just have to guess. No, they were given specific instructions and also they followed them. But now, let's notice the commission to us today because we do have one. And brethren, we are to be out and fulfilling this commission because it still applies to us today. In 1 Timothy 3, verse 15, notice the words of the Apostle Paul to the young evangelist Timothy. He says, "But if I tarry long, that thou may knowest how thou ought to behave thyself in the house of God, which is the church of the living God, the pillar and ground of the truth." There's a certain way that you must conduct yourselves. It doesn't matter. Yes, it does. This scripture says there's a certain way. There's a way that is right. And you're going to be instructed how to behave in the Lord's body, the church. How do you know? They were guided to write this message. We have this same message. Has it been changed? If it is, it's wrong because man doesn't have that authority to take away, to add to. Now, so we have the guide as to what we are to go by. We must read. We must study. We must know what the will of God is. How can you fulfill it if you don't know what it is? How could the apostles have waited and tarried in the city of Jerusalem if they didn't know which city? Or if they had been unwilling to listen? See, we must know what the will of God is, but then once we know, we must act upon it. Simply know the will of God will not save you. We must respond favorably. We must be willing to submit to it. And we can't pick and choose, I like this one and I don't like that one. Rather, we must submit to all the will of God. That way, our souls will be washed in the blood of the innocent Lamb of God that came to take away the sins of the entire world. We also read in 1 Corinthians, the second chapter, verses 11 through 13, the Apostle Paul again writing, he says, "For what man knoweth the things of a man, save the spirit of man which is in him? Even so the things of God knoweth no man, but the Spirit of God. Now we have received not the spirit of the world, won't do you any good, but the Spirit which is of God, how come? That we might know the things that are freely given to us of God, which things also we speak, not in the words which man's wisdom teacheth, but which the Holy Ghost teacheth, comparing spiritual things with spiritual, not from man." It's not from the mind of man. Man thinks he knows so much. He knows nothing except what God revealed to him. He knows nothing except what God has made possible for him to see. And God's wisdom is higher, it's greater than man's wisdom. The words that they spoke, Paul says, it didn't come by man. Man's word can't save you. There's a lot of people preaching their own word today, not the word of God. They knew what the will of God is. How do they know it had been revealed to them? And they followed that will. Brethren, we must know what the will is, not listen to what some man says. That's one of the problems we have today. Somebody said, and we listened, and we believed. We didn't search the Scriptures like the Bereans. They were more noble than those in Thessalonica because they knew what the will of God is. They both had the same opportunity. They didn't take the same advantage of what they had. The same is true today, isn't it? The Word of God is available. You can read it. I can read it. If we both follow it, it's going to make us the same thing. Now, if we deviate in the least from it, it's going to make us something different than what it made them. But if we'll submit to the will of God, brethren, we're going to be whatever it made them. What did it make them? Christians. They were called Christians first in Antioch. And you see throughout the book of Acts, everybody is taught the same plan to obey. Now, if that plan ever changed, what year was it? When did it happen? Some will tell us today, well, no, we don't go by that anymore. When did it stop? Who had the authority to change it? We've already established that Jesus has all authority. Jesus didn't say to change it. He didn't say to stop and do it some way different. So no man has that authority. So it is still binding today. We have what God wants us to do. And we are to make disciples, followers of all nations. We read also in Mark 16, verses 15 to 16, another instance of what we call the Great Commission. Go ye into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. Not opinions, not what the majority thinks. But now he goes on in the next verse and says, he that believeth and is baptized shall be saved, but he that believeth not shall be damned. That plan is not hard to understand, is it? Man can comprehend it. It's understandable. The Bible even tells us the common people heard Jesus gladly. They were receptive to him. Other people heard him. They sought to trap him in his own words. Didn't work. Jesus even knew the heart of men. Go into all the world. The question comes to us. Are we going into all the world? Now, you say, may say, well, I only live here and don't see this many people. That is the world that you know then. And you must be going. And we prayed earlier in our worship service for places that we support in other areas of this country, of this state, and of the world. Go into all the world. See, we can do what Jesus said to do. He wouldn't have told us to do something that we're incapable of doing. We can do what our Lord has said. But brethren, we must go and do as we've been instructed. In the book of Colossians, chapter 3, verses 1 and 2. Notice, after we become Christians, because Paul is writing to Christians, he says, if you then be risen with Christ, all right, you have been baptized, you believed, you've repented, you've come up out of the watery grave, you buried the old man, the new birth has taken place, if ye then be risen with Christ. Notice this, seek those things which are above. That means there's some things we need to leave alone. Leave them alone and seek what God has told you to seek. Where Christ sitteth on the right hand of God. Notice this, set your affections on things above, not on things of the earth. This earth is not our home. We're just passing through. My treasures are laid up somewhere beyond the blue. But that can only be said by you honestly and truthfully if you have submitted to God, the Son of God, that has all authority. Man has no authority. And the only authority that we can proclaim the Word today is by the words that God has given us. And if any man changes it in the least, God will hold him accountable. It doesn't matter how popular he may be, how many followers he may have. The Word of God is the only thing that will save man. So, this morning, have you believed? Are you willing to repent and be baptized for the remission of sins? That's the authority that we've been given by the Word of God. But if you have done that, seek those things which are above. Are you seeking those things above? A lot of people seem to think that baptism is the finish line. And it's not. It's the starting line. We have a lot of living to do once we become children of God. And we need to set our affections on things above and not on things of the earth. And sometimes the things of this world blind us that we can't see what God wants us to do because we're so caught up in what the world is doing. Brethren, look to the will of God. It is the only thing that will save our soul.